You may be seated. Peter and Paul, two well-known saints of the church, we can read in Scripture about their leading the church, that young church, that young group of followers of Christ, to grow, to spread the gospel, struggling as to who would get it. There was some argument about who gets to receive this and how. But even so, they were faithful in calling others to be followers of Christ. Peter and Paul. And yet today, we get a little glimpse at harder times for them. We have a picture of Paul and this great story about his conversion, reminded that he was known as Saul and that he was persecuting early followers of Christ, those who were part of the way, and that he had, here we hear that he is on the way to Damascus, and his warning there is that if anyone in the synagogues knows someone who's following the way, let it be known so that he can arrest them, take them away to Jerusalem. And on the way to Damascus, there's this bright light and a voice that says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It turns out that the me there is Jesus. And Paul is blinded and God calls on a disciple there in Damascus, Ananias, you go to Saul and pray with him. And Ananias, I mean, he was respectful and everything. I mean, Lord, hold on a minute. You know, that's the best way to start it. Dear Lord, gracious God, I think there's been a mistake. You don't mean that guy. I've heard about this Saul. We know about him and why he's come here to try and arrest some of us. You cannot mean that guy. And the word from God is, yes, indeed, this is my instrument I have chosen. Go to him. And so the story goes that he did go and he prayed for him and that he regained his sight and was baptized and pretty quickly was preaching in the synagogue, Jesus is Lord. Saul, who was persecuting one week, here is preaching and proclaiming the good news the next. And he went on to share that good news with the Gentiles, to raise up others, to write letters to the congregations he had formed, to die for his faith. And there's Peter and this story today, this wonderful story, where he's the one who's leading the way. He was often the one who spoke up first with the disciples. If Jesus had a question, he didn't even raise his hand. He just said, hey, I know, I've got an answer for you. No, no, Lord, that's not what you meant. What do you mean? They're not going to kill you. And he says, let's go fishing. And we have a beautiful story of Jesus cooking on the beach, having a cookout. I did have to clarify with some folks, I saw a commentator who referred to Jesus having a barbecue, which I said, okay, no, you are not from the South. Just because you have a fire and you're cooking on it, it's not called a barbecue. It doesn't matter if it's vinegar-based or tomato-based or mustard-based, but it's you've got to have some sauce to call it a barbecue. You can barbecue fish, I suppose, but it really should be pork or chicken. But anyway... So Jesus is having a cookout, and it's a charcoal fire, because at least he's got that going. But Peter here, we know other stories about Peter. We remember most recently, before the crucifixion and resurrection, that Jesus said to Peter, you will deny me. And Peter says, no, no, not me. I will never deny you. And then he did indeed deny Jesus three times. and how he must have felt throughout the crucifixion and those days and the resurrection, even though he was still with his fellow disciples, thinking, man, I'm hanging out because I don't know where else to go, but man, I've really messed up. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go fishing. Going to go back to what I was doing. But here in this story, Jesus takes a walk with him and says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, I love you. Well, feed my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Tend my sheep. And a third time, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know everything, even that I denied you three times. But you know I love you. Well, feed my sheep. And then Jesus says, follow me, follow me. Two disciples, two apostles, followers of Christ that we remember in the church for their great faith and for shaping the faith that's been handed down to us. And here are these stories of weakness, of sin, of antichrist. And yet they are the instruments God chose to do God's work. In our diocese, I am part of the Commission on Ministry. It feels like I've been a part of that commission for longer than I've been here. But it's a group that our primary purpose, the primary role we serve, is we make guidelines for choosing folks to be ordained. And so people are presented to us, and we have these guidelines they need to follow. And some of those are set by national canons, and some are a process we work through, and we have them go through interviews in their parish and talk with their clergy and go through psychological exams and physical exams. And then we interview them, and then we make a recommendation to the bishop, who then makes a recommendation, yes, no, you can move forward towards ordination, or no, you can't move forward. There's another ministry for you. And let me tell you, Peter and Paul would not get through the Commission on Ministry in most Episcopal dioceses, okay? They just wouldn't make it. So here they are, though. We would be like Ananias. Lord, you must be mistaken sending this one forward. Those questions Jesus asked of them, I mean, he asked Paul, he says, why are you persecuting me? I mean, Paul could have said, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting your followers. Let's be correct here. But Jesus was claiming outright, my body is my body. My people are my body. If you're persecuting them, it's the same as persecuting me. Why are you persecuting me? And that question that he asked of Peter, do you love me? Paul, who had lived a life as antichrist, why are you persecuting me? Peter, who had denied him, do you love me? And of Paul, he says, he's my chosen instrument. To Peter, he says, come and follow me. And I can connect and relate with that. Because I know people who have persecuted Christ or have rejected Christ, denied Christ. I know you guys, those people. And I may have been one of them. And now, of course, I mean, we sit back and say, well, I've never been, you know, anti-Christ. I mean, come on, never rejected Christ. I'm reminded of RJ's sermon just last week when he talked about privilege and race and how so often because of our privileged because of our race. We have advantages over others that we use sometimes without even thinking about it to exclude, to leave out, to classify others as those people. And so there we are persecuting Christ when we do that. When we choose those groups and say they are other. And when we say there's no hope because that person, I know what they're like. They can't change. There's no hope in this situation. We are denying the resurrection, which we may as well be denying the power of Christ. So I know that I have denied Christ. I have persecuted Christ. And I'm so happy to hear this story where some grand persecutors and deniers of Christ are forgiven, are named as the chosen instruments, the ones whom God chooses to use. Because there are days when I'm a little bit like Ananias and say, Lord, I think you've made a mistake. It's not me. You must mean someone else. Because you know that I've encountered that kind of stuff before and I really messed it up, Lord. You don't want me going there. And Lord, you know those people and I'm just not good with those kind of people. And they don't like me or whatever. You can fill in the blanks, right? And the Lord says, this is my chosen instrument. Get up and go. Follow me. Go and do. One of my favorite parts that gets left out today in that Gospel of John is right after Peter's had this encounter with Jesus, where Jesus says, do you love me? So you feed my sheep. I'm going to lead you places. Follow me. You know what he does? He looks over at John, the beloved disciple, and sees him and goes, what about him? I love that. Don't you love that? I've just received this call. You have a purpose and a mission. What about that guy? You know? And don't we do that too? We compare and say, okay, I'm supposed to do great things, but what about them? You know, they're not doing anything, doggone it. You know, they would just get up. And Jesus says, what does that matter to you? I mean, I might take him to be with me before I come back. He might still be alive when I come back. What do you care? You follow me. And so God is calling all of us. Jesus is calling you. And you might be thinking, now, wait a minute. I don't have a long repertoire of what I can offer. And, you know, I'm just here for the healing. Okay? I really don't have much to offer. I'm glad if I did have it, I would give it. But, I'll do anything I can to help. I just won't be in charge. Yeah, I started to say that, and then I wound up coaching 6-year-old and under soccer. So, you are my chosen vessel. You are God's chosen. You are called. You are the instrument God chooses. No matter where you come from, what your sin has been, what people have called you, what you call yourself, God chooses you. God chooses you and is calling to you today, saying, follow me. Amen.